In the early part of the 20th century, there was a thinking that man had really had arrived, that there had been so much technological progress, so much knowledge gained in the scientific fields, that really man had really hit a pinnacle, a peak. In fact, there were those who thought there won't be any more major wars. There might be little skirmishes here and there, but there won't be any major wars. And then in 1914, an archduke was assassinated, and the war to end all wars was unleashed with a destructive method that killed millions upon millions. We came out of that, and then we had the 1920s. 1920s, they called them the Roaring Twenties. It was an economic boom. People were making money. People were living the high life. It was just tremendous. Until October 29th, 1929, stock market crashed, and soon there followed a depression that lasted for about 10 years, its impact. And then, December 7th, 1941, Honolulu, it was 73 degrees, a balmy night, 73 degrees, about 8 o'clock in the morning. There were just some clouds in the sky, and then the skies filled with Japanese military planes. And the war that ended all war, turns out it didn't. And we went into World War II, and more millions of lives were lost. I can remember September 11th, 2001. It just seemed like another ordinary day. Beautiful, cloudless skies. The church I was working at, we were building a new building, so there was construction going on there. And then we got word. We got word that a plane, didn't know the size of the plane, but a plane had crashed into one of the World Trade Tower buildings. Well, that's weird. That's odd. How did they not see that? And then a little bit later, we heard that a second plane had crashed into the other tower. And then we heard about a plane in the Pentagon and a plane in Pennsylvania Field, and suddenly life changed and more wars followed. This past January, on my trip to Myanmar, went through Hong Kong, there and back. And they were just talking about this virus thing in Wuhan, China. And it had us, you know, a little bit on the alert, but we thought it's all contained there. Probably won't be much of an issue for us. 2 months later, seems like the entire world just shut down. The Bible says that a prudent person foresees danger and takes precautions. The simpleton, though, goes on blindly and suffers the consequences. What this proverb reminds us is that a wise person anticipates that dangers can arise and prepares ahead of time. But what if you don't see the disaster coming? What if we assume no disaster, no downturn, no problem will ever arise? What if in the morning you've got some outdoor activity, you look out and you say, look, there's not a cloud in the sky? Well, you might get through the day without any rain, but what if you assume that because today there are no rain clouds, there will never be any rain clouds again? For some reason, we resist the idea, the notion that change is possible. If we are in a depressed state, if we're feeling hopeless, we think nothing will ever change. This pain I'm experiencing, nothing will ever get better. And in the same way, if things are going great, it's hard for us to imagine that there could be a downturn, that there could be a problem, that there could be a tragedy, a disaster that arises. Nothing will ever creep in and get our life. It's going too well. The summer we've had our grandkids on and off at our house, and our little granddaughter, she loves a good game of hide and seek. And she's really good at it until she says, "Can't find me, right here, where I'm at." But you know hide and seek. How do you play it? Somebody hides their eyes. People go hiding it. You count to 10, maybe 10, 20, whatever you come up to. And then as soon as you hit 10, what do you say? "Ready or not, here I come. I'm coming." Matthew 24 says this, recording Jesus. "Understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into." Now this, he tells us in relation to his own return, but the principle still stands. The thief doesn't say, "Ready or not, here I come." Disaster doesn't say, "Ready or not, here I come. I've counted 10, you're warned." Disasters, tragedies, problems, pain, they don't come with countdowns. They don't tell you that they're on the way. Get ready. We just have to assume that they are a possibility and maybe even a probability. Disaster doesn't say, "Mark your calendar, set your alarm." There's an old saying that says the best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago. The second best time to plant a tree is today. So I want us to begin thinking about, are we prepared for what's coming? Some of you have been preparing for life's downturns for 20 years now. Some 10, 5 years. You've been thinking ahead. You've been planning. You've been putting some stuff back. But so many of us just assume everything will go on as it always did until it doesn't. So now is the time to take a stress test. Now is the time to kind of think about how can our lives handle some stress. You've probably heard that phrase before in terms of a heart stress test. Typically you'll get on a treadmill and you go and they make it go faster and give it a little incline and they just make it harder and harder because they want to see how your heart does as it has to work more and more and more. You know, other industries use stress tests as well. After 2008 and the whole housing collapse and the recession that followed, banks have to be able to pass their own stress test, to be able to say that their accounts are set up enough that if there's another downturn, they can handle it. Aerodynamic companies will use wind tunnels to make sure that the products they build can handle the stress of winds that come at them. And if you've ever been dismayed, to see a little label that says, "This chair, this bike, whatever, can handle up to," and you're right at that "up to," you know that they've been doing some stress testing on it. They've been wanting to make sure that it can withstand a certain weight. But too often, we don't ask ourselves, what would I do if something went wrong? We have a process we use for this. We call them drills. Schools have fire drills. Maybe your business does too. While you were all having tornado drills here in Indiana, when I was growing up, we were having earthquake drills. And we'd have to get underneath our desk and hope that you know, half-inch laminated wood and some hollow metal pipe could withstand a metal beam coming crashing down on us. Well, we had to practice. This is what you would do in the event of emergency. And so we have to ask ourselves, are we ready? Now, let's just talk on a very practical level. Has your family ever practiced for a tornado? A fire? Where would you exit? Where would you meet up? Have you ever had that conversation about if there was some national or regional disaster, how would we keep in touch? Where would we go? If we can't reach each other, what would that look like? Have you ever had that conversation? Maybe more and more, it seems like we should be having those conversations, those what ifs. What will we do? And think about it and plan about it. In the coming weeks, I want us to think about how well we are prepared in our finances, in our marriages, in our health, in our work. How well are we prepared if there's a downturn? And we can't forget to talk about how well prepared are we for our own deaths. Now, is this biblical to think ahead, to plan ahead? Psalm 26:2, the psalmist wrote, "Test me, Lord, and try me. Examine my heart and my mind." Maybe that's what we need to do. We need to prepare ourselves. We need to think through and test ourselves. Examine. What will I do? How will I handle this? Why would we do this? Why even get into preparation at all? Dwight Eisenhower said, "In preparing for battle, I have always found that plans are useless, but planning is indispensable." Meaning that the plan you came up with may have to get adjusted, but the process of planning makes you think through all your contingencies. Byron Pulsifer said, "You cannot move forward in any project or task, career, relationship, or changing a habit unless you plan." And preparation is not the end, but only the beginning. And Jesus said, "In this life, you will have troubles. So are you prepared? Have you planned for those troubles?" Now, let me assure you, preparation is not a lack of faith. Some folks say, "I'm not going to prepare for anything because that means I'm not prepared. I'm not exercising faith in God." But what we see, it's exercising faith in His Word and what it teaches us. If you have life insurance, retirement savings, rainy day funds set aside, that's not a lack of faith. That is being willing to prepare for what might come and probably what will come in some form or fashion, and being ready for it so that you can operate with some freedom. Preparation does that for us. It provides freedom in the moment. You know, musicians will practice. They will learn their skills. They'll learn the very basics of their craft. Why? So that they have the freedom to play the songs and even create new songs. And preparation then provides us more opportunities. If I'm prepared, I don't have to panic. And that frees me up to serve, to see crises as opportunities for growth, for change in a positive way. I want you to think about this as we work our way through this message and through this series about preparing. And as we sing this song here in just a moment, will you ask God, "Lord, begin to prepare in me something I need to see and hear and do"? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this morning, for the opportunity to give to you our attention, our thoughts, our praise. Speak to us now. Help us to see that we can rest in your shadow and know that you love us so much. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So here's the theme we're beginning to get, and that is, now is the time to prepare. Now. If you haven't prepared, it's not a year from now to start. It's not 2 years from now. It's not 5 years from now. Now is the time to get ready. Thomas Fuller said, "In fair weather, prepare for foul." It's when the weather's good that you get ready for when it's bad, because when it's bad, it's a little late. George MacDonald said, "The best preparation for the future is the present well seen to and the last duty done." That is taking care of whatever needs to be done, doing it well now. Someone has said, "Planning is bringing the future into the present so that you can do something about it now." And Peter Drucker, business analyst and consultant, says, "Long-range planning does not deal with future decisions, but with the future of present decisions. What you decide now will impact your future, your days, weeks, months, years, and even decades to come." So taking stock of where we are now and seeing where we are ready for the downturns and where we're not ready is wise. And God calls us to be wise. So I encourage you, please use these coming messages to test yourself. Use the different topics and things we're talking about to test and see, am I ready? Because here's what happens. When you have a downturn, when you have a problem, if there's a disaster or just something happens, it puts some pressure on your moment, doesn't it? On your life, whatever it might be. And it pushes and it pushes. And if there are any weak spots, those are the spots that will give. So now is the time to do the stress test, to prepare, to think about what do I need to do differently today that will prepare me for tomorrow. Remember back in March when people made a run on toilet paper, like Depression era people were making a run on banks? What if instead of that last minute kind of hoarding, you know, that people did, what if instead just every week you got a little bit of extra, or once a month you added to your supplies so you had some in reserves? Not just toilet paper, but some food, some cash, some money. You're ready for what happens. On a very practical level, dealing with disasters, FEMA has been telling us for a while now that all of us should have a supply, a ready box of things to go. And if you go to ready.gov/kit, you'll see there a list of things that you should have. Now, do we need those? And we're not talking about preparing for a nuclear war. But what happens if there's a tornado that takes out our electric power and it takes some days, weeks to get it back? Has that ever happened in this country? What about in wintertime in Indiana? You ever have an ice storm here that's knocked out power lines and it takes them a week, if not longer, to get it back going? What will you do for heat? What will you do for some food? What will you do? It's very practical and it's very wise. And if you're ready, you're not panicking. You're prepared. What if instead, you know, as we try to prepare ourselves, what if instead of buying that next meal out, you put that money into a savings account? What if instead of saying, honey, one day we'll make some time for each other, you took that time this week, even today, and made some time for one another? What if you had that conflict-resolving conversation that you've been putting off for days, weeks, months, years? What if you had it now? So that you didn't have to have it when the pressure was pushing in on you. You may be getting to see it now. But what happens? What happens when the unforeseen stuff? If you're getting by right now, everything's okay right now. What about when the unseen, the unplanned, the unprepared for stuff comes in? Now is the time to address those situations. And so join us on this journey as we think about those different areas. There's a proverb, actually two proverbs kind of put right together each other, that says this: go to the ant, you sluggard. Sluggard is a lazy person, not a baseball hitter. Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer, or ruler, yet it stores its provisions in summer and gathers its food at harvest. What does it do? It prepares for the winter in the summertime. It goes on and says, how long will you lie there, you sluggard? When will you get up from your sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest? And poverty will come on you like a thief, and scarcity like an armed man. What an image. That this situation comes up on you like an armed thief to take what you have. And that's what can happen if we're not prepared for some of the stuff that can happen in this life. And what we see in this, when you think about the end and the monotony of what they do, is that preparation can be boring or it can be very hard, but it is necessary in order to flourish, to not just survive, but to thrive. Talking about musicians and their skills, if they don't put in that hard work along the way, it's hard for them to do what they might do on stage. I have some weird dreams. Maybe you do too. Dreams are just weird in general. One of mine every now and then is that I'm going to be with a rock band. Tells you something about my little inner thought life, right? I'm going to be with a rock band. It's a famous rock band. I'm going to get to play. And then it's time for me to get up there. You know, I'm all excited. Yeah, this is so cool. And then I'm right in front of the instrument and realize I don't know how to play it. I can't play it. What am I doing here? What is this all about? I'm never prepared for this moment. The musicians, the physicians, the people who practice their craft, when they prepare today, they flourish tomorrow. And that's true in all aspects of our life. Jesus said, suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it? For if you lay the foundation and are not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule you, saying, this person began to build and wasn't able to finish it. Or suppose a king is about to go to war against another king. Won't he first sit down and consider whether he is able with 10,000 men to oppose the one coming against him with 20,000? If he is not able, he will send a delegation while the other is still a long way off and will ask for terms of peace. Counting the cost, folks, is a part of the preparation piece. Counting the cost. Because here's the truth. We think on the front end, well, what this will cost me. If I spend less now on myself and I put some in savings, that's going to cost me some things now. But here's the flip side of that. What will it cost you if you don't prepare? If you can pay cash for something versus having to borrow money, are you not saving money in that moment? The interest that you have to pay? Life has all sorts of elements like that. We talk about, in business, they talk about opportunity costs. The things, the opportunities that we miss because we weren't prepared for them. Folks, I want you to think about this too. Are you prepared for that moment when you see Jesus face to face? Whether he comes back for us with a loud shout and a trumpet on the clouds, or whether you go to him, are you prepared to meet him face to face? If not, we want to have a conversation with you. We want to tell you. We want to answer your questions. Love to tell you about the Jesus who saved my soul and has guided my life. And I know there are others who'd like to share that with you too. Today is the day to prepare for tomorrow. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for hearing us in this moment. Help us to begin thinking about our lives, about our futures, and about what we can do today that will make a difference tomorrow, both on a practical and on a spiritual level. Thank you, Father, for this moment that we have. Speak to us in that still small voice through your Spirit that we might hear what you have to say. We pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen.